Good morning. Welcome to Shattering Myths, the program that is produced each weekday on behest of those who recognize, or at least open to the realization, that all of the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are counter to God, and they are corrupt. They're unproductive and actually working against your interest. They block the only means that God has provided home. I am Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us toll-free over the next couple of hours, 877-300-7645. Also, a reminder, for those of you who would like a printed version of the books that comprise the perspective that is presented in this program, for the books that share the path to God, whose name is Yahweh, that is presented on in this program, for those who may be interested in knowing how we have come to pronounce Yahweh's name, how we have come to understand his Torah guidance, and how we have come to the realization that, from his perspective, that government and religion are counterproductive, those books can be viewed online for free at yadayah.com, at questioningpaul.com, and at IntroToGod.org. But if you'd like to have a printed copy, they can be purchased, and I'm not advertising these because I make a nickel on them. Everything that we do is free, at least for me, free online. The Brent books do cost something to print, and the printer does make a nickel on them, but I receive nothing in terms of a royalty for them. That website, it's a very fine company, by the way, is Claritors.com, Claitors.com. Well, I was having a grand time speaking about an article, and sometime back, our connection was lost. So, Scott, I'm going to assume that probably the best thing to do is begin at the beginning, because I don't want to dive into this halfway, and I think that this article is telling of our time.
We lost you almost right away, so okay. It's been a little while.
All right. Well, I'm sorry. Who knows what happened in the overall process. But here's what the article, how the article begins. It says a professor was criticized for writing an article calling legal scholars treasonous and lawful targets in the war on terror. His name was Professor William Bradford. He wasn't employed at any old university. No. Mr. Bradford was a professor of law at West Point, the U.S. Military Academy. And he didn't just express these views in the classroom. No, not William. No, Mr. Bradford, Professor Dr. Bradford wrote these views in an article which were published in the National Security Law Journal. Now, by the way, they were published early this year. And it took this long for him to resign. Why? Because you don't think that the military academy vets its professionals' journal articles? You don't think that you think that it's possible that somebody can be a rogue agent in the U.S. military academy at West Point and publish an article without the senior brass at the military academy vetting it, having a vetting process of one's peers? Do you think that no one in the U.S. military academy, that no one in the U.S. military, no one in the U.S. government bothers to read articles printed in the National Security Law Journal? Well, the fact is that most of those in the military agree with him. And the fact is, proof that they agree with him, that a legal scholar is treasonous and a lawful target in the war on terror, which means that the U.S. government ought to be able to use its drones and its snipers to take them out, to kill them, to take away their freedoms and their life. The reason that This article was printed early this year. The reason that he was able to say all of these things without having to resign until yesterday is because it's the prevailing position held by patriots in this country. The majority of Americans actually think that Edward Snowden is a traitor, and they don't realize that the traitor is James Clapper, head of the National Security Agency, who perjures himself before Congress and yet doesn't find himself facing perjury charges for lying to Congress and for breaching the U.S. Constitution by putting together this NSA scheme that is wholly and completely unconstitutional. So here you have it. You've got the U.S. Military Academy with a professor who publishes an article. Now, to publish an article, folks, that article had to be vetted by the Academy's peer review board, and they had to agree with it. Professors and the most senior professors, the chair even, of the law school at the U.S. Military Academy. And you can be assured that the article was read by the administration of the school, by those in legal compliance at the school, by members of the Pentagon. None of them saw any problem with this. But think of this. These legal scholars are correctly stating that the NSAs and CIAs and FBIs spying on you without due process is appropriate. You know, the U.S. Constitution is really clear. There is no search and seizure without probable cause. And in 100% of these cases, there's never any probable cause. It's a broad net that everyone's click of every internet page, everyone's dialing of every telephone call, every text, every Facebook exchange, every Instagram, every website that you visit, every email that you write, every time you use your credit card, it's all being monitored by a Gestapo government in absolute breach, complete contradiction of the U.S. Constitution. And here's a law professor at the U.S. Military Academy of West Point saying that those who point out the obvious truth to you are treasonous and therefore lawful targets in the war on terror. And what do? To targets in the war on terror, we send our drones after them. We send our snipers after them. We send our warplanes after them. We kill them. Now, this article appeared early this year. No one lifted a finger. Why? Because they agree with this. This is the mentality that's going to dominate and destroy America over the next 15 years. American citizens who won't go along, who say that the emperor is bare-ass naked, that the country has lost its way, that the country is not serving our security but destroying it, the country isn't protecting our freedom but robbing us of it, that the military isn't protecting us, it isn't assuring our freedom, it is robbing us of our freedom and making us more vulnerable. That anyone who dare tells you the truth, that a nation that claims to be operating under the rule of law, that denies its own charter, and all the way to the highest possible positions, breaches the very charter, the constitution upon which it is based, has no legitimacy. Truth no longer matters. Right doesn't count for anything. And I want you to recognize something here. that Americans largely, because most Americans side with this view, that most Americans view Edward Snowden as a traitor, as opposed to a great hero, a man of character and conviction that gave us one of the greatest gifts, albeit squandered, in the history of this country. And yet, Americans are not willing to hold James Clapper accountable. And it's Edward Snowden that gave us this great gift that our government was being unconstitutional, while James Clapper lied to Congress and to the American people, and yet he retains his job. He perjured himself. Wasn't even tried for it. This is the America that is going to be destroyed. Within the next 15 years, everything that you know about this country will cease to exist. Anarchy is going to prevail. There will be no rule of law because the laws no longer matter. There will be the imposition of this kind of terror from your government, where American citizens who have done nothing wrong, who have actually told you the truth, who have the courage to tell you that the government is working against your interest, that it is counterproductive, that they're going to be targeted and killed. Bradford made the comments, as I said, in the article that was published called the National Security Law Journal early in this year. He said that scholars who criticized U.S. tactics in the war on terror are helping ISIS undermine America. You know what's undermining America? The U.S. military. Mm-hmm. You know what's undermining America?
Stupidity.
Idiots like this professor. Stupidity. By the way, there is no ISIS. There's an Islamic State, and it just really is aggravating to me that people aren't willing to say Islamic State and are hung up on this ridiculous acronym ISIS. They are the Islamic State. You can say it. You can write it. And the fact is, the Islamic State is doing nothing to undermine America. So if you're helping them undermine America, you're helping them do something they're not doing. The Islamic State is fixated on killing Shia Muslims. That's what they're fixated on doing. And they're fixated on solidifying their base so that they can protect Sunni Muslims from Shia Muslims in western Iraq and in central and eastern Syria. That's what they're fixated on doing. There will be a time where they're fixated on a little more than that. There'll be a time where they will be fixated on invading Jordan. There'll be a time where they'll be fixated on invading Lebanon. Jordan to increase their base. Lebanon to rid that country of Shia Muslims. There'll be a time where they will feel bold enough that they'll attack Saudi Arabia. And then ultimately, should they continue to prevail as they are against Shia Islam, there'll come a day where they'll invade Israel. There is a 0% possibility that the Islamic State is going to seek to undermine America. They're not going to invade America. They're not going to undermine America.
Well, why would they? They want us to be over there, because if we're over there, that means we're sitting. We're bringing guns
correct.
In there. We're bringing tanks in there. We're bringing all the stuff that they need.
The Islamic State is 10 times better armed, 10 times larger, 10 times more popular, and controls 10 times the territory that they did when America declared war on them. America's declaration of war against the Islamic State has been wholly and completely counterproductive, which is exactly as I said it would be the day the Obaminator declared it, that all this will do is play into the Islamic State's hands. You want the Islamic State to go away? Stop sending arms to Muslims. If America hadn't invaded Iraq, there would be no Islamic State. If America hadn't given a military to the Shia government that it propped up in Iraq, which was controlled and loyal to the mullahs in Tehran, Iran, there would be no Islamic State. We created them. We have undermined ourselves. It's these goons that want to target legal scholars and those critical of America's tactics, which have backfired, that are the ones that are undermining America. There would be no Islamic State had we not foolishly invaded Iraq and given Iraq to Iran. Had we not armed the Shia government in Iraq. Had we not done those two things, there would be no Islamic State. In fact, I can go one step further. Had Petraeus and Bush not come up with the awakening program, the surge, where they provided weapons to the leaders of what has become the Islamic State, there would be no Islamic State today. We created this mess. If the Islamic State is, in fact, undermining America, it's these goons' fault that they're doing so. It is amazing, truly amazing, that such an article could be written and not be condemned by the U.S. Military Academy. Here this man is saying, and he's a professor at West Point, he is teaching U.S. military officers, Army officers, that anyone who criticizes U.S. tactics in the war on terror. Now, how could you not criticize U.S. tactics in the war on terror? Since the United States has been engaged in the war on terror, terror has increased exponentially. Since we invaded Iraq in this war on terror, acts of terrorism have increased a millionfold in Iraq. By a millionfold. I mean, a million percent is what I should say. Is a million percent. What, 10,000 times? There are 10,000 times a million percent increase in acts of terrorism in Iraq after we invaded Iraq in the war on terrorism. So how could you view a tactic, the invasion of Iraq by the U.S. military and its war on terrorism, as effective? How could you avoid criticism of it when we squandered $4 trillion, a million Iraqi lives, and nearly 10,000 American lives in theater, plus another 250,000 suicides of people that came back and realized that our tactics were brain dead, that we were stupid, that we were counterproductive? How could you be informed and rational, moral? I mean, anything other than a zombie, and not know that our tactics in the war on terror were counterproductive. And yet you've got a professor at West Point writing in a national article that anyone who points out the obvious is a traitor and should be targeted as if they were a terrorist, which means to be killed. This mentality, ladies and gentlemen, is the mentality that is destroying the country. It's why there's zero hope. It's why the country is going to absolutely end up as a tyrannical dictatorship. There'll be no rule of law, because the rule of law, the U.S. Constitution, is no longer considered. What the NSA is doing, what the CIA is doing, wholly and completely unconstitutional. It's a legal search and seizure. What the CIA did with President Bush's and Condoleezza Rice's blessing in terms of torturing individuals is absolutely unconstitutional. Rule of law no longer matters. This is a lawless society. And anarchy is the net result of an anarchy, of a lawless society. That is where we are headed. And in the future, you'll have no free speech. Anyone who is willing to stand up and tell you the truth is going to be targeted. They're going to be deemed a traitor. You know what happened in Nazi Germany? If you told Germans the truth, that Hitler was counterproductive, that Hitler was wrong, that Hitler calling Jews traitors was simply being anti-Semitic, that he got his facts wrong, that his reasoning was flawed. What happened to you if you said those things in Nazi Germany? Would you find a Gestapo at your door? Would you be hauled away to a concentration camp and killed? Worked to death, deprived of your liberty, and then ultimately killed? That's what West Point wants to do to you. Sobering. The publication was edited by students at George Mason University in Virginia. And it apologized in an editorial last week in response to a barrage of criticism from its readers. Editor-in-chief Rick Myers repudiated the article, saying that the publication is reviewing its selection process to ensure that we publish high-quality scholarly articles. Bradford's 95-page article says that liberals dominate legal academia and use their position to undermine public support of U.S. military efforts to combat ISIS. First of all, folks, if you're going to write ISIS, then you're misleading people. There is no ISIS. There was, for a period of about a month, an ISIS. There was an Islamic State in Iraq that America created by its invasion of Iraq. There was an Islamic State in Iraq and Syria for a brief moment when the Islamic State first entered Syria. But they ceased being the Islamic State over a year ago. They ceased being the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria over a year ago. They're simply the Islamic State. Call them what they are. I know that you don't want to say it because you don't want Islam to be associated with the Islamic State, but that's all the Islamic State is Islam. And as I've said, it is impossible for anyone to assist the Islamic State from undermining, assist the Islamic State in their efforts to undermine America. The Islamic State is wholly and completely incapable of undermining America. The Islamic State is focused solely and completely on establishing its caliphate and protecting Sunni Muslims against Shia Muslims. And to do that, they need to control large swaths of territory where the preponderance of the population is Sunni Muslims. And they need to reward the Sunni jihadists in the way that Muslims like to be rewarded, with sex slaves, with stolen property, with the thrill of the kill. But this battle, the focus of the Islamic State, is to kill Shia Muslims. And that will continue to be their goal for at least the next 5 years. Now, they may expand their territory ever so slightly. Are they going to invade the United States? Zero chance. Can they undermine the United States? It's laughable. I mean, this is, goes back to the justification for America having this overkill arsenal of bombers and spy planes and satellites and nuclear bombs and this huge military to confront the boogeyman of the Soviet Union, under this idea that the Soviet Union would invade America if we didn't do it. They're trying to justify even having a military. The military has been wholly counterproductive against the Islamic State. The more that the president bombs them, the more he declares war on them, the more the U.S. military applies this tactic, the larger the Islamic State becomes, the better armed they are, the more popular they are, the more their ranks grow, the more they solidify their gains. The fact is that everything that we are doing in the world today is counterproductive. We are our own worst enemy. We created the Islamic State, and the Islamic State isn't undermining us. We are undermining us. West Point is undermining us. The U.S. government is undermining the United States. I've met the enemy. He's us. Our indulgence. The fact that you've got Bernie Sanders, an avowed socialist who is really a communist, gaining enormous popularity through class warfare, through his animosity to business, through his communist proposal from each according to their ability, to each according to their need. The very fact that someone who is a communist, an avowed socialist, can be popular in a major political party in this country shows you how far we have fallen. I've met the enemy. We are the enemy. We are undermining ourselves, and it starts at the very top of this country. Hello, Glenn.
Hello.
Been quite a rant since that we reconnected, but
yeah.
I don't think there's
you're
many things that bug me more than this.
Yeah, the U.S. is being undermined, of course, but it's undermined by guy like people like this guy who wrote this article.
That's correct.
Wesley Clark, who says that disloyal Americans should be interned.
That's right. That's right. And Wesley Clark, by the way, ain't just your average military general.
Uh-uh.
No, Wesley Clark was as high a ranking a general as you can be in the U.S. military.
Yeah, but he, first of all, is he not retired now?
Wesley yes, he is.
Actually completely out of the picture even.
No, of course not. Of course not. Now he's, now he's a media spokesperson. You see him on all the time giving his Americans his patriotic drivel.
Well, he was amazingly self-contradictory the other week when he said that, well, these people claim they have the right of free speech, but we also have the right to lock people up. It's like, no, Wes.
No, you don't.
Right. We have the right to dissent without persecution, and you do not have the right to,
right.
to lock us up for being disloyal to a corrupt administration.
But not according to the U.S. Military Academy.
Well, this is really scary. Actually, there have been times when, like, the Army War College and the various military war colleges have been a seat of sanity in the midst
right.
of confusion.
This is so bad.
Not now.
Yes, this is so bad, Glenn, that if America was moral, if America had character, if Americans had a backbone, then the head of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, the board of directors of the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, the Secretary of Defense, and whoever has oversight of the U.S. Military Academy at the Pentagon would all resign. They would all be forced to give up their jobs because this is so egregious.
Well, and we've had Obama's purge of a bunch of, you know, flag-level officers. He's gotten rid of people who didn't want to go along with the program, which
right.
is certain, because some of those are probably some of the more stable, least less offensive people, you know, or that he's gotten rid of. And so there's been a real brain drain in the upper ranks, the flag officers and stuff. And now we've got this kind of dribble coming out of an academic institution.
Right. West Point, that shapes the whole mindset of the U.S. Military Academy. And you couldn't have a more disastrous perspective than people who tell you the truth, that we've lost the rule of law, that our military is way out of control, as is the federal government, that they're traitors and should be killed. So, Glenn, I would ask you this question. I want to read a statement out of the article, then I want to ask you a question. According to the West Point professor, Islamist sympathizers and propagandists in academia and in the media ought to be fired. Others ought to be required to provide a loyalty oath, and others should be charged with treason. Is the President of the United States an Islamic sympathizer?
He's a chameleon. He certainly seemed to be at times. I mean, he he bowed to the Saudi king. Mm-hmm. He, he
gave a speech at the highest rated Islamic university in the world, telling Muslims that they have a great religion and this is their time to rise up.
Right. So it would seem that. People will swear. People will come on and at times and say he's a Zionist. Other people come on and say he's a Muslim.
If he is a Zionist, then I'm a frog.
Right. It's just hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it would be. We've had a lot of Islamic sympathizing. President George Bush was an Islamist sympathizer, Hillary Clinton, as Vice President and Secretary of State, is overtly an Islamist sympathizer. But I don't think there's ever been a more Islamist sympathizer than the Obamanator. So he should be charged with treason. Here, can you imagine in a university requiring loyalty oaths?
Oh yeah, no, that's bizarre.
Right, and by the way, is. I'm very, very critical of the U.S. military. I'm very critical of its tactics in the war against terrorism. I think its approach to the Islamic State is counterproductive. It has exactly the opposite effect. I approved that our invasion of Iraq increased terrorism by 1,000,000%. So that was not a very effective tactic in a war against terror. So from his point of view, I should either have to give a loyalty oath or be charged with treason. But would you count me as this person wrote that such people are Islamist sympathizers? I wouldn't think of myself as an Islamist sympathizer. Would you?
No, not at all. Ultimately, I think at the top of the, the highest places of influence and power in the globalist hierarchy, I think there are people who are ultimately using these various people groups and ideologies and just see them as pieces on their grand chessboard.
Of course.
Of course. And so, themselves are either amoral totalitarian oligarchs or they have their own little Luciferian agenda, and various. So ultimately, mm-hmm. These ideological groups are all being manipulated.
Correct. Of course. Yeah, they are, and there's an integration of power brokers. The man that is the head of the Roman Catholic Church, Pope Francis. I mean, he is every bit a player in this new control mechanism, and Islam is definitely embraced as an effective pawn in world control and world domination. Islam is the absolute perfect means to implement command and control in a fascist, particularly a fascist regime, where the government has absolute control and yet individuals can still own property and businesses, which is the form that we're going to see in the New World Order. And so there's never been a political or religious dogma that is more appropriate to install fascism than Islam. Right. That's why Hitler loved it. That's why he wrote about it favorably in Mein Kampf.
And I can listen every day to people who will tell me that it's the communists who are taking over, So I refuse to get caught in the dialectic between fascism and communism, knowing that a totalitarian oligarchy tops it all.
I think there is this misunderstanding of communism being on the far left and fascism being on the far right. If they're far right and far left, then it's a circle and they meet. Because in practice, there's almost no difference. I mean, Hitler's Nazi party was a nationalist socialist party. And so while he was a socialist in terms of centralizing control, the government and the economics was on a fascist system, there really is no distinguishing between the two. Total control is the same as people having no ownership.